Good evening, everyone.
Evening. It's a late one, so please disregard the excess vocal fry that you may hear tonight. And we're back with another episode of 90s Noise. I'm April, have had a green thumb since 1991.
And I'm Ashley. I don't know what I've had since 1988. You threw me in for a loop there.
I could tell. So this week we are discussing a few underrated animated movies. And yeah, we've
Very
got three in our
underrated.
lineup here tonight that we are going to be chatting about. First up, we are gonna go with the retelling of Hans Christian Andersen's classic fairy tale of Thumbelina. So,
Thumbelina. So, have you, okay. Did you watch this as a kid? Like, did you watch any of these as a
I
kid?
did. Okay, yes, I did. I did.
Really?
Really, absolutely, I watched these.
So how did you like find them? Like, 'cause they're not the big animated productions that I felt like were thrown in your face, like all the Disney ones. You know what I mean? Like these were all obviously underrated. They weren't as widely known. Like I don't know. I'm very curious because I don't know that I ever saw any of these.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Like I was like,
Oh
okay,
my
like
goodness.
I feel like Thumbelina, okay, like I know I kind of have an idea of what that story may be like. Oh, Swan Princess, maybe Troll, I definitely knew. No, I hadn't seen that. But after rewatching all of them, girl, I cannot remember ever seeing any of these. I don't know. It's wild.
Wow, okay. Oh shit. So all three of these were ones that we had recorded when they were on TV. Because we had the VHS, we had the little like stickers that they used to where you could write what it was. And I remember Swan Princess, like I still remember like the writing. Swan Princess, Troll in Central Park, and Thumbelina.
Those old tapes, like if you still have those, like it would be so fun to watch those because you know they would have like the commercials and shit on those. That would be so fun to see.
So what we would always do, what my mom would always try to do is stop,
Oh, she would
like
pause
pause the
it.
recording
Oh.
and try to get it, like try to time it right. So you always miss that first like 30 seconds when it came back on. But no, we don't still have them because my brother went through a phase where he was going crazy, like recording, I think it was Dawson's Creek, and was just pulling random, like all of the different tapes and recording over shit and
Oh
everything. Oh, I was
no. Oh fuck.
furious, furious, because like I had taken a handful of the tapes and put them in my room because I was watching all that kind of stuff, and he had gone into my room and taken some of, like, to find some. I was like, what? I was like, where the
Ooh.
fuck is this? Well, obviously I didn't say it that way because
Yeah, right.
I was still like a preteen or whatever. Yeah, that, because I do remember just like the recording of it, like the quality wasn't the greatest. So yeah, I do remember watching these growing up. Thumbelina, not so much. And this, so we watched it. What, you watched it on YouTube, right? Also,
Which wasn't a bad quality. I felt like the quality of it wasn't bad, to be honest.
it was a decent quality. It did drive me crazy that some songs were muted. At least the one that I was watching, some were muted and some weren't.
Yeah, there was one version of it where they were having some songs like that, but then I did find another one where they were all in there, so it didn't really make sense why someone had done that because that was because I thought, oh, it was like a copyright thing, they couldn't. But then I found another version where they were all in it, and I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. So that was like, I'm not doing this again, people.
Yeah, it's not like it's, and it's not like it skipped the song entirely. Like, it's just, you just had like few minutes of dead
No,
air and everything. And that was kind of annoying to me. But what was your take on Thumbelina?
So Thumbelina is, she is like the damsel in distress, the one that we hate, you know, like the just, you're just like from the get-go, like what is hap,
Oh
like
my
what is she
gosh.
doing, like
Yes.
girl, like you literally were just born, if we want to like call it that, and all of a sudden your main focus is, oh, I have to find my little fairy prince love, and it's like, girl, like what are you doing, like
That plus the this movie would not be made today. Like, this movie would be so canceled
You think? Why?
because of how I like, even I was like cringing at some of these parts with Thumbelina and, oh, I'm gonna marry her, I'm gonna marry her, and
Everyone
oh,
was
like
obsessed with
everybody like
marrying her.
marrying her, all this kind of stuff. I do not think this movie would be made with this script. This wouldn't, I don't think it would be made today. I
Yeah,
don't
they
think it
would.
would, I don't think it would get past Gen Z.
Yeah,
Gen
they
Z
would
would
have
cancel
to
the shit out
do a
of
lot
this.
of reworking, even though like that is basically the fairy tale. Like, I mean, they weren't like tr really changing the fairy tale much. That's what it was about, just like this girl going about like and all these different characters wanting to marry her. But yeah, it just, for a kid's movie, I didn't think there were really any redeeming qualities for Thumbelina at all. Like
No.
she literally was like this pathetic, desperate girl who really couldn't stand on her own, who didn't know really anything, and the only thing she was worried about is she literally just met this guy, and now it's like, oh, I have to find him. I have to. Oh, he's my true love, and that's the only way I'm gonna like survive in life. And it's like, well, you don't
Yeah.
even know what life is,
Exactly.
so.
Like, she had a good voice, which was like sirening all of these people, creatures, whatever you want to call them. And I mean, because that's even how the prince first saw her, was he heard her voice. And it just was so hard for me to watch. And I kid you not, like, I'm like, I was watching, I'm like, this is, you know, I don't think this was one that I was super into growing up, because I'll be completely honest, I wasn't into a lot of the princessy damsel in distress type things. Most of my favorite stuff were more animal based, honestly.
This one had animals, but like all the animals were just, they were
It
just
wasn't,
evil. They were just trying, like, marry her, or they weren't really trying
yeah.
to help her out in any way. Like they were just like the bird guy, like he just seemed useless because instead of allowing her, like he knew what she was trying to do, find the prince, instead of like, oh, hop on my back,
Hop
we'll go
on,
fly away. And
yeah.
he was just like, all right, peace out. Have fun here. I'll
Yeah,
go see what I can do.
I'll go find
Like
this
this
prince or whatever. It's like, what
tiny
the,
little person, you're just like, it's like, seriously, like, what are you
yeah.
doing?
It was really hard
Yeah,
to
I
really
think
get into that all.
the only thing that kind of kept my attention on it was the fact that like you had Jodie Benson and you had Gilbert Gottfried, like some bigger names like voicing, that you were kind of like, oh, okay, like I know those voices. This is kind of piquing my interest. Like I want to kind of see what they're doing with this. That was really the only thing that I was, the only reason why I was willing to like keep watching it, because I did have to like gather my thoughts and stuff and be like, okay, can I get through this movie without being like wanting to shake Thumbelina and be like, girl, like, I mean, none of the characters, I'm gonna be honest, the only character I liked was the dog. Like he was the
I
only
know.
one, and he couldn't
What
talk, of
was his name?
course, and you're like, what
Hero
the,
or something?
and they wouldn't let him talk, so it was, again, you're kind of like a play on Little Mermaid where the dog couldn't talk, and the, but yet all the other characters could, all the other animals, all, and it's like, what about the fucking dog? Like, why
Yeah.
are we like, oh,
Yeah.
yeah, that was a very frustrating movie. And like, the prince, I just didn't, I don't know, I didn't like him. Like, I just didn't think he was anything special. And then at the end, they get married, but then all of a sudden she has wings. Like, she became a fairy because they got married. Like, how does that work? Like, how does
It was just so like unrealistic, like didn't even really have like an ounce of anything that you could, I mean, what was the moral? I mean, where was the moral of the story?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. Like, I know there was all about like I know she eventually, what, she refused, like, eventually told the mole, like, no, she's not going to get married to him. That was the only part where I felt like she finally said something and was like, but she almost went through with it. So you're almost like, well, girl, like, come on, figure it out. Like, what are you doing?
Exactly. That's yeah,
And
no.
then, like, the kidnapping, like, she was kidnapped, like.
Pretty much what? So in a sense, probably what, like three times kidnapped by the frogs, kidnapped by the beetle, and honestly kidnapped by the mouse too. I mean, she did save her, but then she locked her in.
She was very like gullible because they like said things to her and she was like, okay, like, all right, oh, like they're like, oh, he's dead, oh, okay, I guess I'll give up, and oh well, like I'll just die here. It's like, so you're not going to go back home to your mom? Like, you just care about her? So I was so like, Thumbelina, someone needs to shake you. That one was very frustrating. Like, I just.
That was, and honestly, I think we're gonna go ahead and transition into the next one, which actually, so just looking at some of these little nice little trivia tidbits for these movies. So this actually ties in well. So both Thumbelina and A Troll in Central Park were in production simultaneously at Don Bl Bluth Bluth. I don't know how you all know how horrendously how horrendous I am about pronunciations, especially when it's not a Midwest American. Don Bluth,
They know who you're
so
talking about.
yeah, studios in Ireland. Initially, Troll was to be released first, followed by Thumbelina, but it was then decided to release Thumbelina first, as it was pre-sold commodity given its origins as a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale. That may be the only redeeming quality of that movie. So, on that note, I think we're transitioning into A Troll in Central Park. You hadn't seen this? I'm
I
really
never even
surprised about
heard of
that one
it.
too.
Like, I had heard of Thumbelina, I heard of Swan Princess, but until you had mentioned like A Troll in Central Park, I had to look it up because I thought you were talking about like a more modern movie. And then I was like, what? This came out in 94. What the fuck is this?
Oh my gosh. I really enjoyed this movie. And I even still enjoyed it rewatching it.
Really?
Well, for me, I don't know, like I said, I think it was partially the fact that it really wasn't a princessy type movie. It was different. It was definitely different, and I definitely feel this is a very underrated 94 movie. Like you said, probably very few people even know what the fuck it is. But yes, this is one that I enjoyed. I liked, and I love the different cast, the different voices. There's so many people in this that, well, I mean, the main cast members are ones that you've heard from other movies.
Like who?
Okay, so the guy who played Stanley, Dom DeLuise, I think is how it's pronounced. He was Itchy in All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Itchy.
Do you remember? Do,
I have not seen, you know, that
oh.
movie is not one that you like. I love that movie, but I don't feel like I've rewatched it because it's so sad. Like, you don't like.
I
You
know.
don't just put it on, just be like, oh, let's just put this one on. Like, he's got to be ready for that one emotionally.
Yeah. So that was that's what that was like a big one for me for him. He was in like an episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. He did a lot of like single episodes. You would probably like his voice, I'm sure, is something that you recognize, like if you put it together. Did you ever watch American Tail by Fool Goes West?
Possibly. I know it's like a very well-known like book and stuff, and I don't know. I'd have
He
to
was
revisit
also,
it. Oh,
yeah, he was also one of the voices in that. And so that was Stanley. Gnora. This is actually how I remembered about Troll, was we literally just watched the voice of Gnora, Lars Leachman. And so, I mean,
Yeah, she's very recognizable in that role, like
she's, yeah.
easily, yeah.
There was her sidekick guy was also voiced, did a voice in All Dogs Go to Heaven also. There's also another little cameo in a sense. Hillary, the character of Hillary, which if I remember correctly, Hillary is, I believe, the mom was Hayley Mills.
Yeah, the British parents with the American kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
that.
Absolutely. And so there's a lot of different voice actors, people who voiced different characters that.
Well, and that's the thing when I was looking that up is like with Thumbelina and Troll, they both had some pretty well-known voice actors, and it's crazy that the neither of the movies did well at like at all. Like they bombed in the
No,
box
they
office. Like
did.
they did nothing. So it's wild that they were a part of this production. Like, and I get it, like Don did a lot of other movies, like you named, All Dogs Go to Heaven, all those that you named, plus, I think he was a part of Disney, if I'm not mistaken, before all that, like, or
I
so,
think so.
like, I understand how that all works, but it's insane that movies that get made and they spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on making these movies and the years that go into it, and then they come out and like they don't do anything. But it's so hard. Like we've talked about this before. Like when you have another type of animated movie from another production going up against a Disney anime, you cannot compete with that. No matter how good the fucking movie is, you just can't compete with it. Like there's just no way. And it you do wonder how these movies would have done if there were no other movies of Disney being released in 94. But I mean, they were going up with The Lion King. I mean, so many other great movies that year that it's just like, how can you even? Like what are they supposed to do?
I completely agree. Like this, it's one of those things where these are the movies that you see people doing the, do you remember this movie? Or I just unlocked a memory or something like that, because they didn't necessarily make a huge impact, but a lot of people watched them. Still, whether it was you actually did go end up going to the theater to see it, or you just it happened across it with your family one night on TV. And I think that's what happened with a lot of people, was these were movies that were on, not on Disney, so not on like ABC. They were on a different station, and so parents, I think, also kind of were like, okay, we're not watching a Disney one. Let's give it a shot. Like, 'cause as parents, like you kind of get a little tired of the same continuous Disney movies. Because if you line up most of the princess Disney movies, Their storylines are so similar. I mean,
Right.
there's a girl who falls in love with a prince, and then there's an evil witch who does something that splits them apart, and the prince has to come and save her, blah blah blah. Like, I mean,
Yeah, it's all
that's
very
like 10 of the Disney princess
cut and
movies right there.
paste. Yeah.
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 And so it was something different for families. I think TV, like actually playing on syndicate TV and just TV in general, was probably the saving grace in a sense, and what allowed people to really see these movies.
Yeah, and I think like you said with the troll, I mean, it is very like outside of the box, like for a kid's animation. Like it's not about the typical princess prince type storyline. And I think for that movie, that's honestly, it's really its only redeeming quality is that it's different. I personally had a hard time with this movie. I can't say that this is one that I liked or I'll plan on rewatching. I think what was hard for me is that the kids were so freaking annoying. Like they were so obnoxious. And just like the concept of the trolls, like just the way it started, I guess it was a little bit confusing as to what they were doing with it, where they were going, because like I guess we had this assumption, we had to have this assumption that all the trolls were bad. Like, and the only association I have with trolls, like if I was watching it as a kid, is obviously those little like troll dolls that, you know, were super huge, like in the late 80s, early 90s, that my sister was obsessed with and collected. So like with the crazy hair, like that's what I know a troll. So then like you have this movie about trolls, so you're kind of thinking, oh, is it going to be like that? But no, they're supposed to be like a very boring world where you can't have any fun and color and like excitement. It's just like, we're bad trolls, we're bad. And I'm just like, what? Like, where is this movie going? Like, I was so disappointed with how it like started.
It could have used a little bit of polishing and kind of a little bit more of a backstory, just to kind of even just like 5 minutes of a little bit more of a backstory on it, which it's funny you mentioned that, like, because when I think of troll, yes, part of one thing that does pop up are those toys from the 80s and 90s, but when I think of troll, I think of more like the mythical, like in the or like the what was it, the troll under the bridge or something, like the there's a oh
I think
gosh,
I know what you're talking about. There is
the story
something
about
like,
like the one, like it's like keeping people from crossing a bridge or something like that. Yeah, that's what
Okay.
comes to mind for
That's true. I
me,
forgot about that.
is something more like that, where in past fairy tales and books that have read, the troll has been a mean, ugly
Yeah.
creature and everything. And I mean, as kids, I don't know if you ever, I mean, I never was personally called one, but like I'd hear kids call other kids like a troll. Like,
Really?
you look like a troll. And like, yeah.
I don't know if I heard
And
that,
so
but that's funny.
it was always kind of, it was a degrading comment. And so that's why I guess maybe for me, it was already my concept of trolls were bad, evil, whatever. And so it kind of made sense that there was, oh, okay, so there's a good troll. There's a nice troll. Not all trolls are bad,
Yeah, there's
type of deal. So.
that one Stanley who like just doesn't shut up though, because he's just way too like he's way too cheerful. He's way too like in like the whole movie, he's just like ah, and you're like, okay, Stanley, chill the fuck out. But it's funny with like Gnora. She did you get the resemblance to like she was Ursula, like she was like a Ursula knockoff.
A little bit,
Like
yeah.
that was my first impression. I'm like, okay, so this is an Ursula
A little bit, yeah.
knockoff.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think also probably part of my why I was drawn to this movie growing up was because of Rosie, the little girl.
That was my thought when I was, I'm like, oh, I wonder if April connects with Rose. That's literally what I thought.
Well, because at that time I would have been about that age and everything, and you don't see, you really don't, you'll see like toddlers or babies as like side characters, not really as a focus, unless it's like a really toddlery show or something, but as a more family friendly movie, you just don't see that very often. And so yes, Rosie was one that I was drawn to, and I remember, and it was funny because I was watching it, and I'm at the beginning, I completely forgot about the beginning. I'm like, do I even really remember this movie? And then as soon as Rosie came on, I was like, yes, I do. I do remember this movie.
Did you feel like her brother, like as bratty and annoying as he was, was there any resemblance to like how your brothers were, or was that just not at all how they were with you or anything? Because he was kind of like
Not
annoying, like, oh, no one let I don't ever get to do what I want to do. Like just such a brat in the beginning, like kicking his toys and yelling at his dad, basically. And it's like, what the hell?
to my knowledge, I don't think my brothers were to that extreme, if they were at all. We were, I mean, my parents raised us like pretty much very, I don't know if humbled necessarily is the right word for it, but we were, I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously, as kids, everybody goes through like temper tantrums and stuff like that, because as children, you just don't, you really don't know how to express how you feel. Whereas, like, as an adult, you could say, hey, I don't like that, or hey, I'm not, this is how I feel right now. And as kids, we really, you really don't have the capability of truly expressing in a way that can be talked about, I guess. And so you get like that built up like anger or sadness or whatever, and then it just comes out as a temper tantrum or some kind of tantrum. And so I'm sure there was times, I know I had some myself. I'm sure there's times my brothers did, but it wasn't, I don't recall like any specific instances where any of us truly were like acting like he did. And maybe it's just because that our action, us acting like that, would have been so long ago that I, those, the memory is just hard to remember on that. And of course, those wouldn't have been like a good memory. So I probably threw those out to make room for something else. What about you? What about did you or your sister really ever do much of that?
That specifically, I don't know. I mean, I know like we were both probably pretty bratty at times. Like, I'm sure we were not the most pleasant of kids at times. And like you said, that's just part of growing up and how kids typically are, but I think having parents raise you well and discipline you in the right process because in the right way, because like I don't feel like kids get disciplined nowadays like how we were in the 90s. Like we were shown the bell and like
Well, that's the thing. Like that's why I don't think I just truly don't remember any of that, because I think what it was for us was like it happened one time, we were disciplined and we learned.
there is this like meme, or it's not really a meme, but it was like one of those, you know how they do all those like video reenactments and like it's they have like kind of like type things. There was one that I saw recently. I don't think I sent it to you because I really don't know like your family household and if it was something you associated with, so I didn't want to be like, calling like anyone out on it. But it was like with
Just for future reference, send them to me.
I
I'm
know,
not gonna take
okay.
it personally.
Okay. So like
I'll probably be like, oh, that solely is true, or eh, not really, but just I mean, you've seen what I mean, you see what I send you. I just it's one of those, oh my God, this is great. So just for
So,
future reference, send them.
okay, will do. But like, did you guys have like a reclining chair, with like where reclined out and you had the the foot thing. So did you, like, your dad, like, was he sitting in the chair and something going on, and like you were getting in trouble, and your dad, like, you, when you heard your dad like slam, you knew like shit was going down.
Yes.
Yes, that's what they posted. I'm like,
Yes.
oh my God, the memory's coming back. Like, everyone better
Yes.
get it
Oh
together
my
because dad
gosh.
is pissed.
Yes.
That recliner's coming down. He's getting up.
Oh yes, because I mean my dad it would take a lot for him to get pissed.
Exactly. Yes.
And so you knew if he got involved, you were like that. No, that wasn't good. But I mean, I think that's how it was a lot for a lot of families in like 90s and before, is that for the most part, just the typical way families were. The mom kind of did more of the everyday disciplining. And then because dad was at work and mom was taking care of the kids and everything, it was kind of that, in a sense, that 50s vibe. But almost then, like when dad would have to get involved with something,
Dad's
you
getting the
knew.
bell. Dad's
Yeah.
getting up.
It's like, so like I said, I think probably it was one or two times of those temper tantrums. And then it was, you knew better.
Exactly. Yeah.
But okay, so what did you think on for Troll, how the brother gets turned into a troll and then turns into having a green thumb?
Yeah, that part was a little confusing, if I'm gonna be honest, because like obviously the trolls have powers, and so whatever, like the fact that Gnora even sent him to a park with no expectations that there would be anything fun for Stanley to do was, oh, that was a bad move. But
Well, so it wasn't that it was necessarily realizing it was a park. It was he was going to New York City. And it just so happened that there's Central Park, and because that was what the thought process of the sidekick was, oh, New York is all
Supposed to be,
buildings and everything. There is no green.
yes,
And
but he
so
happened
it's
to be in Central Park, so it
it,
worked out for
yeah.
him.
Yeah, it
But
worked. Absolutely.
yeah, it was a very interesting moment when, like, you think Rosie's dead, you know, like she's fallen, like you think she's gonna die, and then like the boy is turning into a troll, and then he has powers, but then like it doesn't really make sense because they defeat her and he turns back into a boy, but then he still has the magic thumb. Like, how does, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
it was cool in the end to kind of have that little reveal, but you're also kind of like, well, why does he still have that? Like, you know, like,
Well, because remember he was like, I want to be able to have a green thumb. And
okay, but you
like
don't get
when,
everything that you want.
it's a
And
fucking movie. Of course you do.
the parents are so fucking oblivious too. They're just like,
Oh my gosh.
la-di-da,
Oh yeah, the babysitter said that it sounded like they were so quiet it was like they weren't even there. No shit. Like hire
la-di-da.
yourself a different babysitter.
Yeah, she was not good.
Oh my gosh. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the babysitter was actually who Haley Mills voiced. Because
The babysitter didn't talk, did she?
I think she had a couple lines, a couple
No, I
small
think
lines.
she was the mom. Like, if I, because I remember
Was she?
looking at the cast, it was her and that guy, and they're both Jonathan Pryce, I think, and they're both British, because
Well,
the babysitter was, or I don't even, she was more of a housekeeper, and she was kind of stereotyped as like Latino or Latina. So, and you know
Oh,
how
that's
it
right. Well,
is.
yeah, because okay, yeah. So see, this is what happens when we do these late. Like I start second guessing myself. Yeah, no. And then yeah, Jonathan Pryce is also a big name too. I mean, Glenn Ross. I mean, fuck, like that's a another big thing. I hate when like it doesn't actually like you don't hear their names. And animation does this a lot. where there will be characters that you don't ever hear their names. But then when you go like on
You're supposed to
IMDb or Wikipedia,
just know who it is.
yeah, like if you're like looking to see who the fuck it was, because I'm one of those people that if I hear a voice, especially with animations, because I can't see a face, if I hear a voice and I'm thinking, and I will spend 98% of the entire movie going, who the fuck is that? Where else have I fucking heard them before?
That's why I automatically open up like the cast list because I want to know. Like I
I
need to
do
know.
too. And it drives me crazy when like I'm like, I don't know who the what their freaking character's name is
Right.
because it's not been
They all,
mentioned
yeah.
in the hour and a half movie. So I just gotta freaking go through and figure out who actually like go through every single, okay, it's a female voice. Okay, so I'm not gonna go through the males, obviously. All right, just go down the line. Okay, it wasn't this person, it wasn't this person, then maybe this person. Yeah. There's my rant for tonight.
So then at the end, when he like uses his magic thumb, and now like New York is basically being invaded by all this greenery. Like, can you imagine like if that were, I mean, New York does need some greenery, yes, but girl, that was a lot. They're gonna be suffocated. I don't know if they're all alive. That was kind of
Well,
hysterical.
it had its moments, that's for sure. The movie, it did. It was, I understand, especially like since you hadn't seen it before, hadn't even heard of it before, I definitely understand where you're coming from. It's one of those where it was just, am I gonna probably watch it again anytime soon? Probably not. But it was nice to go back down that trip down memory lane and
Yeah.
rewatch it and just be like, oh my gosh, I remember like going through trying to find the VHS that had that because I don't know why my mom would do this, but she would write most of them in freaking pencil. And
Oh.
so it would like rub off or be like so light, you could barely read it, and sometimes they weren't even labeled. It was like, okay, what's this?
Well,
Oh,
we're just
not
gonna
that,
put it in
that's
and
not what,
see.
yeah. So, no, it was like I said, I enjoyed rewatching it, but I'll probably go another 20 plus years without seeing it again. So, I think we're down to our third and final. And probably the most well-known of our underrated movies that we're discussing today. This is the 1994 movie of a power-hungry sorcerer who's cursing a princess to live as a swan by day in this tale of everlasting love. So this also, I think, is probably one that has the most sequels also.
I saw that. Like, that is insane. Like, they just kept going. Like, did you watch any other Swan
No,
Princess versions?
no,
'Cause like I'm
no.
very curious as to like what else were they did they have to say and do? Like, what?
Yeah. Well, so I think I've seen, because I believe I don't think I ever watched any of the other Swan Princess movies. But they also did a TV show, if I remember correctly. I'm just, I guess I'm, let
Like,
me,
it's
I'm.
just, it's weird to like continue with the story, fairy tale, whatever, Swan Princess, when like they already like conquered the villain that turned her into a swan in the first one. So like she's not she's no longer a swan anymore. So like where she's
Well,
like what
yeah,
like
and
it's just like what's happening? Is it
that's the thing with me. Like, so like I was yeah, or was there, 'cause there was a, I can't remember if it was actually a TV show, if it was the second one that I just happened to like happen across or something, and she's a swan again.
Oh
And
God, no, we're not doing that.
I'm like, no, like how the fuck is that supposed to work? Because like you said,
That's weird.
she got saved. So how the, her wedding was during the freaking day. Like it's not like they waited until the moonlight.
Yeah, I have no idea. That's really weird. I think the only thing that I can associate with the Swan Princess that I I feel like with the story and stuff is Black Swan. Like, I love that movie. So I like that adaptation of it, which is obviously like not a kid's movie, but
Never seen it, actually.
I like the premise of like Swan Lake and that ballet. And I think that is just one of the probably most gorgeous, beautiful, like ballets you could ever see. So I like that this movie is based off of that. Like I really like that fact. And I like what Black Swan did with it, kind of all dark and twisted and stuff. So it's interesting to like watch this version of it with the whole fairy tale. You know, you're back to like the princess and the prince and stuff like that. But it's thankfully not Thumbelina. It's not a damsel in distress. Like, is she like super, you know, independent, strong? Like, is she like one of those like powerhouse princesses? No, but she's not weak and simple-minded. And I liked kind of just how that whole intro led into basically the only line I remember in the whole movie is, what else? You know, like, what else do you fucking like about me? Like, I liked that. That was a really bold statement to like I kind of start the movie with. So right off the bat, I'm like, okay, I'm into this movie. I like this.
This was one that I did enjoy watching as a kid too. Because like you said, it's not the typical copy and paste situation. Of course, I like the animal aspect of it, always will. And that she wasn't just constantly a damsel in distress, and she was trying to figure out her own way out of it, things.
I think what this movie had going for it a bit more than the other two is that this one did feel more like they were trying to copy Disney, like verbatim. You know what I mean? Like, they were really trying to like follow that same path of like how they told the story, how they presented it, how the animation was, the characters, like, because even her animal friends were very reminiscent of like other Disney movies that the princesses had, you know, like these animal friends. So like I was like, okay, so we're kind of on that same boat here.
So I believe it was this one. All three of these had singing and stuff.
Right, they're all musicals.
So this one actually does have a connection to Disney because the Odette singing voice is Liz Calloway, who did the singing voice for Princess Jasmine.
Oh yeah, and the second one. I think it was the second one.
Then she also, for the second one, she's done like a lot of the Jasmine singing voices.
Remember we were talking about in the Alex Mack when we were talking about that, and I said she was on one of the songs. Did you kept did you pick up like in the be it was the first song when she was like a
The first
kid? I was
song.
like, I was like, okay.
I mean, it has that extra little piece to it and everything,
Well, I mean, the
but
director is like a former Disney animator director. So like that makes sense that he kind of wanted to follow that same path, and he knew probably how successful Disney films could be. So he's like, "Well, let me try to do my own version of it." Unfortunately, I think it was another bomb, but I don't know. It's weird to think, like, I know it took like what 4 years for this film to be made, and
Something like that, yeah.
but they said it had to do with like the animation style. Like, they didn't use computer generated animation. Like, they like hand did like all of this, and I really liked the animation from this. I thought that the imaging was so crisp and pretty, and I liked how the transformation of her into the swan, it just was so pretty. Like, the colors and the sparkles, and like, oh
Gorgeous.
my God, I was like, this is, if I was a kid watching this, I would be like obsessed. Like, I would probably want to be her for
Oh,
Halloween or
yeah.
whatever. You know what I mean? Like, she was gorgeous. Her outfits were beautiful. Like, I was hooked. I was like, I love Odette. I love the name. Like, it's so different. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of Disney, this was actually pitched to Disney, while he was working there. But
I
they
wonder why
rejected
they
it.
said no. You know what I mean? Like, you wonder what went on behind the scenes of where they're like, nah, this ain't gonna work. Like,
I don't know. Maybe they thought it was a little too dark in that sense, because I mean, especially towards the end when he's fighting the great beast or
beast.
whatever, it gets a little dark. And at that time, Disney really wasn't doing super.
I mean, girl, you had the Lion King and like Scar and
But
Mufasa, all them dying. Like, that was just
it
horrendous. I was
wasn't like,
crying.
okay, so this was a different type of dark, I feel, because this was more like in the magical dark sense, where they kind of at this time had stepped away from that, I feel, like stepped away from
The
the,
those
from,
darker villains.
yeah, they kind of, it, I don't know, I just feel like there was a point where Disney kind of stopped with like the magical dark villains and kind of just made it to where it was more realistic villains, I guess. Like, okay, obviously Lion King, there's it's animals, so it's not necessarily realistic in the sense of they're talking animals, but you could still in a sense see, like, of course, lions fighting for power. I mean, you if you watch fucking Animal Planet or anything, you easily see that, or National Geographic. Whereas, like, this is more of a magic, like dark magic, not good magic, not like the fairy godmother magic. So, I don't know, maybe that had something to do with it, or I find it very interesting because also, John Cleese, who voiced John Bob, had a choice of playing Zazu or John Bob. And he chose to play Jean Bob because he felt the character was more interesting.
Oh, I wonder what he thought of then afterwards when it like bombed. Oh man.
I don't know. He's had a f he's no, this sounds horrible, but he's not a stranger to that, but he's had
Right.
so much that it was probably one of those things where he's just like, eh, okay.
Whatever. Like, whatever he felt
Yeah.
more connected to. Like, you know, in that moment, you kind of just have to
Yeah.
choose what you feel like. And I probably. I don't know. I don't know what I would have chosen, but I liked the aspect of like the swan, and I liked I liked kind of that darker aspect. I didn't find it to be that dark or violent, but I did kind of like that darker magic, and I liked the villain. Like, I mean, I didn't like him, but you know what I mean? Like, I thought he was a good villain to have. Like, he was just kind of like you like to you love to hate him, whatever. So.
Yeah. I feel also, speaking of like love to hate them, I feel like a lot of Disney ones were wanting to also kind of add like a little bit of a victim card into the villains. Where this one was just pure villain. Like, it really wasn't, there really was no victimizing the villain in it. And so it would be it would have been interesting to have been a fly on that wall to hear the reasoning behind it. Because honestly, like I said, Swan Princess is still coming out with sequels
I wonder if
and
any of
stuff.
the sequels like did better. Did any of them make more money? You know what I mean? Like, did it, I mean, because they would have to if they keep are still continuing with it. Like, you wouldn't just keep on putting them out if they haven't had any type of success. Like, it's just, I feel like this one's definitely more of a cult classic. Like, it turned into something that people started to love later on after it was released, more so than when it originally came out. I think the only thing for me that for this movie that kind of was a letdown was that I didn't personally like any of the songs that much. I don't know. I kind of felt like the most of the songs were a bit of a dud. Like, I don't know, there weren't any where I was like, oh, like this is like, whereas like with Troll and Thumbelina, I felt like they both had at least one song where I was like, okay, let me play that back. Like, I thought it was Thumbelina, the main song. It kind of felt like the Aladdin song, like the whole new world, like that main song that when he first meets her, and then he like takes her out and they're like flying around, like it was the one that he was mostly singing. It kind of almost had that vibe. And then in Troll, it was the one I think Stanley was singing. It just, I think just because I had like a a nature-y aspect to it. Like it just had like a good meaning. But then Swan, the main song that they were singing, I don't know. It was just kind of like, that's it. All right. It
Yeah.
was, okay.
No, I get it. Like this, it was just that wasn't its strong suit for it.
Right. Thankfully, the story held up really well because if it was like those are the songs and then the story, I'd be like, what do you got going for it? Like, what are
Yeah.
we doing?
Exactly. Out of the three, random question. And so neither of us have kids at this time, everything. But if you did have a kid, we'll say a girl, a little girl, which of these three movies would you pop in to show her? If you could only pick out of these three.
Right. I mean, just based off of how I liked them, I would want them to watch Swan Princess just because I felt like the characters were all very likable. They were more relatable, like there was a better storyline. The prince and the princess were a bit stronger. Now, the prince, the only part that I didn't like with the prince is that he when the villain turned the old hag lady, whatever you want to call her, into Odette, and he saw her, he didn't really realize that it wasn't her. Like he kind of had a feeling, but then he was like, oh well, like she still looks like her, it still sounds like her, we'll just make this work. And you're kind of like, well, the whole point of the story is for you to like look beyond her beauty. So you're kind of like, okay, like what, like ugh. That was the only part that kind of frustrated me.
I do like the dress
Oh my God, it was
of the
so
fake
pretty.
Odette
It was so
as
pretty.
opposed to
Yes.
real Odette.
Yes. I would have wanted
I
that one to dress up
love
in.
that one.
That's what I was
That
thinking.
dress was fire. Yeah, I'd probably go with Swan Princess also, just because it is a little bit more of a strong, like a stronger female character too. Like we talked about, there wasn't, oh, he doesn't, where is he? Where is he? Somebody help me, help me. It was a lot more of her standing up for herself, like constantly saying no to the villain. He's like, I'll take this curse off you, but you gotta give, like, still standing up for herself
Yes.
a lot more. And yeah, the whole what else? That
That
of
killed
course
me.
seals it.
I
Yeah.
love that. That killed me. It was that was great because I was kind of like, okay, where are they taking this intro? Because it was a little bit weird to kind of have this opening with this arranged type marriage, and you're like, are they forcing these kids on each other? Like, what's going on? And then this that whole little exchange with them, and she was like, okay, no, this is not happening.
Yeah.
And then it was like the parents were like, okay, well, it's not happening. Like they didn't really force anything. So I did like that it kind of went in that direction, but it was kind of hysterical because he was like, I don't know. What else is there?
Did you ever have people growing up where your parents were friends with them, like somebody's parents, and you were, in a sense, forced to hang out with
Ooh,
kids
that's a
or
good
other kids?
question. Not that I can remember. I feel like most of the kids that I hung out with, it's because we had something in common and I wanted to. And then, like, whether the parents knew each other first or whatever, I think it just kind of worked. And I didn't feel like, oh, great, I gotta hang out with so and so today. Like, I don't think I had that. Did you?
We had it wasn't necessarily like, oh great, I have to hang out with so and so. It was just there was a couple of my parents' friends that had kids similar age group. There's one set of friends that had a year younger than me and a little bit younger. And we would actually go like we did a few different like vacations with them a couple of times. And then there's a couple other of their friends, because these were like my dad had gone to school with. and that we would hang out with. And yeah, some I think the other set of friends, it was more they probably felt like, oh great, because I was the youngest, and so I'd always want to like tag along and everything, but not in the sense of like what was happening in this movie, which I mean the thing is like this is kind of more of a medieval England middle age type scenario, and that shit happened. I mean,
Yeah, right, it did. But usually it was
but
like an arrangement that wasn't like forced upon anyone. It was more so like they got to know each other. The parents like wanted, there's like a difference between like an arranged marriage and like forcing people to like marry each other because of whatever reason with their
yeah.
culture or something. Like there is a difference. And I like that they portrayed it this way.
Yeah, as opposed to what it used to be, which was like you're marrying them for whether you like them or not, kind of thing. And you can either choose to grow to like them or you can suffer, but you're marrying them. So that's, yeah.
Which of the like magical powers that we saw would you wanted to have? Like, would you want like the great beast powers where you can like basically, I guess, shape shift? Then you have the trolls where they're able to kind of like, well, I mean, you could turn people into trolls, but then you had like the green thumb. I don't really know like all the specifics on that. And then Thumbelina, I don't know what we really had in that one besides the witch like creating this little girl out of a flower. I don't know what were there weren't really any magical power. I mean, I guess, well, you could be a
Well,
fairy. Yeah, I guess you could
the
be a fairy.
fairies with like they're changing the seasons and stuff like that.
Which one do you feel like you would want?
I'd probably want either Villain and Swan Princess or Stanley's Green Thumb.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards the green thumb. I think we need more of that with how much the world is changing. Like that would be a pretty badass power to be able to just like, okay, we need a little bit of greenery there. All right, a little bit
Yeah.
there. Like that's kind
Oh
of
yeah.
cool. Like that's really different.
And that was one thing I did like about that movie too, was it kind of, I mean, that was 1994, and it was already kind of like showing how important it was to have that. And
Kind of like Fern Gully almost, you know, there was almost
yeah.
that environmental type aspect.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, 'cause like the ability to like change stuff like that would be cool, like for the Great Beast, but I think Green Thumb, because then I wouldn't have to worry about going and buying all of the vegetables that you need. You could just get them to grow.
Okay, and then how would you want to be? A swan, a troll, or a fairy?
Swans have always been very gorgeous to me.
Yeah, because you could fly, you
You could
know, you could be in the, so
fly.
you can go be on land or you can be in the water.
Yeah.
You can like chase people away.
So swans, a big thing with me for swans also is their ability to show like love also, right? They mate for life. And it is very common. It's very sad. It is very common that if one swan, like if it's a pairing, if one dies for or something, the other usually isn't too far behind from heartbreak.
Which movie is your favorite as far as the music goes? Which one do you think had the best music?
Considering I didn't get to hear a lot of the Thumbelina ones, I don't know. There is like I'd probably have to go with Bach. I'll be completely honest with you. The music in all of them was kind of subpar, I feel. If I absolutely had to pick, I'd probably go with Troll. Just because I feel it was a little bit, I don't know. I like that one a little bit more in that sense. What about you?
Yeah, no, I think that music was hard for all of the movies. Like it's not at all like if you think of any of the Disney ones where like almost all of them you can sing by heart. Like they're like, oh yeah, that one and then that one and you can name all the songs. But I think there was like one song in Thumbelina that I liked to where it made me feel like that one I would listen to more so in, than any of the other ones. I already kind of talked about that, so probably that one. But yeah, they were all kind of I would have liked to have almost seen these movies without the music, because it's almost like most of them didn't really need the song aspects. Like it just, I don't know, I didn't feel like they added anything. You know what I mean? Like there really wasn't much that they did for the movie that they couldn't have just said. So yeah. And what's your final ranking? We gotta rank these. Gotta let them know how you rank.
Probably Troll Swan Thumbelina.
Mine's, I think I'm gonna have to say Swan, Troll, and then Thumbelina. It's very close. And honestly,
I'm like
like,
waiting to see which one you I had an I knew Swan was gonna be first for you, but I was waiting to see which way you went with the other
honestly,
two.
going into this, it was gonna be Thumbelina and then Troll, but just like us talking about it and you pointing out some things, I do think that the fact that Troll is so different and it's not the typical fairy tale love story, I think that kind of is making me, you know what? It's different. I liked it a bit more. It was a little bit more redeeming than Thumbelina. So I'm gonna have to, yeah, Thumbelina can just get out of
Well,
here.
I mean, Troll really wasn't even a love story in that sense. It
No,
was
yeah.
more of just a
Just a
story. It
fun
didn't,
kids adventure movie almost.
and sometimes you just have to have that because not everything needs to be a love story. Like, there
Yeah.
doesn't need to be a love interest. There doesn't need to be like constant love story. It's nice to just have a story. Like you said,
Yeah.
it's an adventure.
Yeah.
It's two little kids going on an adventure with a troll that they found. I mean, yeah, it's
I think if I were to see any of these being remade, I think it would be interesting to see what they did with Troll. You know what I mean? I think that would be an interesting one to kind of see what they could do with it now to kind of make it to where it would resonate with people today. You know what I mean? Like I
Yeah.
think that one would be an interesting, because the other two we've heard, they've those stories have been told so many times, but like I don't feel like we've seen much with trolls. Like there really aren't any troll movies.
Not really, not in that sense. Like we're talking about, like most of the trolls that we see in movies or stuff are always a lot of times like the evil
Yeah.
aspect, or just plain side characters in general. And so I would be very interesting to see how that would go if they ever did decide to remake it or even do like a live action.
Oh
So
God. Whoa.
that would be, so which would you, out of these three, which do you think would make the most in a box office for a remake with live action?
Oh man, that's tough. Like I troll would be interesting, but you're kind of thinking like the troll would obviously have to be like a CGI, kind of like the turtles. You know, I don't know, like would it would you wouldn't want someone dressed in like a troll outfit, like or made up like the Cats movie as someone, like that would just be
Well,
weird. Like I don't know.
so I mean, they could, because there is a there with Stanley at least, he is a little bit more human looking than like Gnora.
I mean, they did a live Little Mermaid, and you have Ursula, who was, you know, so I mean, like, I guess it could be done in some respect.
In some ways, but like, I mean, it would be, yeah, it would they I think that one would be interesting.
It would be
I'd have to,
interesting.
but
I don't
I'd
know if it would make
probably
the most, but I think it would
no.
be like kind of cool to see what they could do with it. I feel like Swan Princess would probably make the most just because it's such a beloved like story. I don't know. I feel like it could resonate with more people because of the realism of it. I think that one would be pretty cool with like the villain aspect, and yeah, I think that one's just so it's pretty and it's so.
I mean, but that one would have to have some CGI shit too. So, like, I mean, they're not
Well,
gonna have
yeah.
just a real swan. Real swans can't make English words come out.
Yeah, but they have a really good like animal CGI now, so I think that could work very well. But yeah. So if y'all want to go watch these, Thumbelina and Troll is on YouTube, and the Swan Princess, you do have to like buy or rent. But thankfully, like out of all of them, I was okay with that because it's one of the better done ones. So it's worth a couple dollar investment to see that one. But I mean, this was kind of fun because, like I said, I've never really seen any of these. So it's always interesting to see new things from your childhood that you missed. And it was fun kind of getting your perspective on like your memories from it, because it's so wild that you have seen all of them and I saw none. Like it just blows my mind. I'm like, what the hell world was I living in? That's so funny.
Don't know.
Oh.
I truly don't know. All right, folks. Well, let us know if you've seen these, and if you have, which is your favorite, what your ranking for these are, and let us know on Instagram. You can choose an email and or write a review. We'd love to hear your feedback. And until next time, peace out.
Bye.